Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. We want to see Jesus. These words that come from this morning's gospel are oftentimes inscribed in pulpits, and many times only where the preacher can see them. But that's not a bad description of the purpose of preaching, is it? To see Jesus. Because in sermons, we don't want to just hear words about Jesus or to share some ideas about religion. We want to see Jesus. Think of that as an appropriate definition of Sunday worship in the church, too. Through what is said and done here, we want to see Jesus. Yet seeing Jesus is not easy. We've been in the Gospel of John now since the first of the year. Seeing Jesus is a big deal in this gospel. It's a frequent theme. Yet, perhaps you will recall that very, very few of the people who meet Jesus really see him. Confusion reigns as one person after another meets Jesus and yet struggles to see him. People like Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman at the well, even Jesus' own disciples. Especially Jesus' own disciples, struggle to see Jesus for who he is. They can look at Jesus, but they just can't clearly see who he is. And perhaps, maybe we too have difficulty seeing Jesus. Who is Jesus, really? Some say that he's a great moral teacher. He is called teacher repeatedly in all the Gospels. Others see him as a fabulous worker of miracles, a miraculous healer. And still others look at Jesus and see him as a dangerous social revolutionary. Remember a couple of weeks ago when Jesus made a whip of cords and drove out the animals from the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers? That doesn't sound very much like a teacher or a healer, does it? We want to see Jesus. When I was in 7th and 8th grade, my dad would take me to help out with this program called Coffee House on Friday nights in downtown Denver. Living in Lakewood, which is west of Denver, we would use our vehicle and make several stops along the way to this church in downtown Denver. And each house that we stopped at was its own unique adventure. We would pick up either a man or a woman, and each of them had Down syndrome. Now, up to this point in my life, I hadn't spent much time around people who had special needs. That's because I went to a private Catholic school out in the suburbs. It was a great school that grounded us well in academics, but they didn't have the staff or the training to deal well with special needs students. So for the first 12 years of my life, I really didn't come across many special children of God until my dad asked me to come along and help out with Coffee House. So every Friday evening for a month, my dad and I would take turns as we went on our route, picking up these special children of God and driving them to downtown Denver. And once we arrived at the church, we'd go right to the cafeteria, everybody get their tray and their plates and their napkins and all their utensils, and we'd go through the line and we'd get our dinner for that night. And we'd sit down and have grace and enjoy that meal together as children of God. And then after the dishes were cleared away, when supper was done, then we'd go get the crafts. And we would make crafts for that evening. So if it was around this time of the year, we would have made St. Patrick's Day crafts, right? In honor of St. Patrick's Day. And once the crafts were done, then we moved right into worship. We celebrated Mass. And then after Mass was over, of course, we'd have to have a little coffee. Because you just can't have Coffee House if you don't have a little coffee. I have to confess, though, that at first I was very uncomfortable being around people with Down syndrome. They grunted. They drooled. They didn't make a lot of eye contact. They didn't speak very clearly. And the truth is, I didn't know them and they didn't know me. So there's always that distance between people until you get to know one another. But over time, we did get to know each other. And I was finally able, by the grace of God, to see them as people, as children of God. no different than you or me. And what I loved being around these special needs individuals was that they were very, very authentic. When they were happy, boy, were they happy. And it was awesome to see. Sheer joy would radiate from their entire bodies. Their faces would light up with these big smiles and their expressive eyes as they showed excitement and joy at whatever we were doing in that particular moment that brought happiness to them. And it was wonderful to see them fully alive. And were they, when they were mad, ooh, boy, were they mad. Oofta. When they were scared or not understanding what was going on in a particular situation, and they were getting all worked up, they would speak loud, and they would point their finger, and they would glare at you with a steely glare that, I tell you, was a little scary to see. Usually, though, we worked our way through these times of confusion and misunderstanding, and things would settle down. We would get through these little hiccups, and then we would spend the evening together having fun. And you know what? It's fun to be the one doing the helping. It's enjoyable to be the one who, instead of being taken care of, is doing the caregiving. It was a good lesson for a boy in junior high school to learn that it's good to know how to help take care of others. Then it would be time to drive everybody back to their houses in Lakewood. So we load everybody up, and at each stop, as each coffee house participant would get out and say their thank yous and good nights, they'd either give us a high five or a big bear hug, and it was awesome. It was touching because they were very sincere people. And in my time ministering amongst these special people, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus in them. Sometimes I think it's hard for us to see Jesus in this modern day world because many of us do not pick up this 2,000-year-old book as often as we should and really get into it. And yet, that's exactly what we attempt to do here every Sunday morning as we submit ourselves and our lives to Holy Scripture. I'd also like to suggest to you that the most challenging gap we face as we attempt to see Jesus today is the gap that's due to our lack of imagination, our narrow prejudices about who God is and who God isn't. I think that's the gap that's being addressed in this morning's gospel. We've been told up front that Jesus is God's only Son and that he's the Savior of the entire world. Remember John 3:16? Now, when you think about the term God, what comes to mind? Do you get a little scared? Do you glaze over because, oh, geez, he's going to talk about theology now, time to go to sleep? Most people, when they think of God, get some sort of vague, mysterious force in mind. Some distant, strange phenomenon that is all-powerful, all-knowing, and can accomplish anything that that vague, impersonal, distant power wants to get done. And then came Jesus, God in the flesh, God with us. God not as some strange, distant power, but rather God with a face, a name. God as a person with a personality. God personally present among us. When we see Jesus, we see God as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. With Jesus, we see God watching as Joseph taught him how to be a carpenter in his workshop. With Jesus, we see God speaking with the teachers and elders in the temple in Jerusalem, exploring the mysteries of the Holy Scriptures. With Jesus, we see God healing the sick, casting out demons, teaching the masses, and loving the unloved. With Jesus, we see God getting mad, making a whip of cords, and driving the money changers and animals out of the temple. We see that today, now, in hindsight. But when those Greeks came to town saying that they wanted to see Jesus, I imagine they saw something very different. When they looked at Jesus, they probably saw first and foremost a man, right? A man of first century Palestine who happened to be a rabbi, a teacher of the Jewish faith, and a Jew who must have looked on the surface very much like other people of their day. He must have seemed to them as nobody special. And then he began to teach. It's like you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but open it up and actually read it. Well, when Jesus actually began to teach, to explain himself, to reveal his true identity to them, then that's when things really started to change, and that's when the trouble started. Next week, during the Sunday we now call Palm and Passion Sunday, and then again on Good Friday, we will see God redefine himself. We who expected to see God drop down out of heaven and fix all of our ills will see God submitting himself to vile abuse and torture. God nailed to a cross overlooking a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. We will see God as a tortured to death Jew, submitting to us at our worst, suffering the worst of any ills we will suffer in this life, and then dying in agony. In church, we will hold up the cross of Christ before you and dare you to gaze upon it, God high and lifted up, God made explicit, visible, and undeniable, God dying on a cross. And we will call that tortured sight the glory of God, the hour when we will see most fully into God's heart. So many times today in our modern world, people say they have a real hard time believing in Christianity or even believing in Christ, as if the Christian faith were a matter of just this part of our body, from the shoulders up, right? That Christianity all boils down to what you think and what you believe. And we struggle with this concept or that religious proposition. But maybe this faith is more than that. Maybe faith is more a matter of seeing. Perhaps it's not so much what do you think about Jesus, but rather what do you see when you look at Jesus? In just a couple of weeks, Jesus will not speak to us. He will show us. We who want so badly to see Jesus will see as we look upon a broken body hanging on a cross. As much of God as we ever hope to see in this world, we will clearly see how far God is willing to go to have us. We will see Jesus. In today's gospel, Jesus says that when he is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. All. Therefore, the cross is not only God doing something about the trouble between us and himself, but it's God drawing all humanity to God. All the downcast, all the suffering, all the sinful humanity, all drawn toward God. All the special needs and those of us, quote unquote, normal people, drawn to God. All the people that thought that God was high and lifted up, distant and detached, floating on a cloud, somewhere unattached to reality in our lives, will be drawn towards a God who came to us because we could not on our own come to God. We here in church this fifth Sunday of Lent in 2018 are still drawn together, attracted to Jesus by the great magnet of the cross. We can't fully explain it. All doctrines of the atonement, Jesus' salvation of us, fall short. But you know what? That's fine. We don't need to explain it. We simply need to let ourselves be drawn to him. And we are. Thanks be to God. And amen.